Well, it's so good when we get together and just worship and sing. You know, one of the things that we had to do a number of years ago when we were first on St. Mary's Road, we had about a 300-seat sanctuary, and I think we built it up to about 500 or 600, I'm not sure which, and the church just kept growing, so we had to go shorten our services down to an hour and 15 minutes, and people would come in, and we'd have ushers parking cars down the side streets. We had booked all the other parking lots we could, and it just did something to our services. We had to get people in, get people out. Go to your cars, please leave, we need your parking spot, is how we would actually talk. And it was wonderful to see what God did here at the church as God's word just began to change lives. When we got this building and we got into here, and now we do three services here and other cities, locations. God's just been so good. But what we're doing tonight is very special because many Christians have never learned to slow down and sense God's presence. We're always in a rush. Rush through the worship, get the offering done, get the announcements done, get this done, and then we got to get our kids from the class, and the teachers don't like us being there in 5 minutes. We got to get to our cars, we got to grab a coffee, and line up for the coffee, and it's just like everything, and it's almost like a lost art to just get into God's presence. Just take your brain and go, turn off this necessity to watch the clock and have time. And around the world, wherever I go, there were times I'd start to speak and that I'd quit, and they'd go, is that all you know? Can you keep preaching? And they would just come, and they just want to hear the word. And as they begin to listen to God's word, things would begin to happen as people just chilled out and relaxed. Miracles, signs, wonders. And so these nights that we do worship and miracle nights, I want to challenge you to find that rushing side of you that's always in a rush and just slow down. Just say, God, help me to learn to worship you, to spend time with you, to hear your word. And that's what tonight's about. So I'm excited about it. We're going to take up the offering at this time, and the ushers are going to get ready. On your seat should be an envelope, and we want to do that now. So tell you about a few announcements. So on your seat is an envelope, and if you'd like to participate in giving today, and as a church, we love to give. Giving is something that helps us to reach more people. As you're preparing your offering, I'll tell you a quick story. Sal and I were just called out to London to meet with an organization that made me sign an NDA. For those who don't know what that is, it's a non-disclosure agreement because something huge is going on around the world in ministries, and they want the top 250 ministries in the world to go on this platform and take this to the planet. And they said, we want to talk to you first. And we said, we want the Spirit contemporary message. We want what God is doing there. We've heard it spoken all around television, and so we want to have that here. And they just said, would you please help us even pick these ministries? And it was just, God just keeps opening more and more doors for us. And who'd ever think that from Winnipeg, you know, kind of, can anything good come out of Winnipeg? Is what, you know, people would say, where are you, Winnipeg? You're in Winnipeg? Absolutely, I love Winnipeg. And God is doing something beautiful, something special. So it's exciting. I want you to keep believing, keep giving. You know, there's no way we can do what God's called us to do if we don't learn to give. Giving is always the mark of love. If you ever married somebody and they say they love you, but they're cheap as all get out, stingy, and they can't give you compliments or anything or finances, you begin to question, because the Bible says that the first thing I find, for God so loved the world he gave. Giving is a part of our hearts. And you can always tell what's important to you by where you write your biggest checks. You know, is it food, dining out, clothes, is it golfing? And I want to encourage people, make sure that a vital part of your life is helping this world hear Jesus, helping this world hear the gospel, our cities, our nation, our world. And that's why giving is so important and so crucial. At this time, what I'm going to do is, I'm really double working these ushers here, but Dennis, as soon as you're done with the offering, would you want to go ahead and just pass out communion? And I'm going to just share a little bit now, just to save a little bit of time that I want to minister to people with. Let's talk about communion. They're going to sing a song. Well, right after I do that, we're going to take communion together. Communion is something that's very beautiful, but I want to explain it to you because it's been like misrepresented over the years by churches that just scare people to death that, you know, you take this thing and if you got any sin in your life at all, you're going to go to hell. You're going to die. And, you know, and so what communion is let me tell you the story of where it comes from. God's people are in Egypt. They're slaves. They're back there and God's going to set them free. So he tells Moses that tonight the last plague is going to happen. Get all of your family into their homes. Bar those doors. Don't leave your house. He said, kill a lamb for each home. Take some blood and rub it over the doorposts. He said that blood represents the blood of Jesus thousands of years later. The Old Testament is written as a type and a shadow of the coming Messiah, Jesus. So they would dip hyssop and they put a little bit over the door frame. And then it says, roast that lamb and eat it. And that night, you know, that wicked country that just was killing and destroying and holding in bondage God's people, the death angel visited and the firstborn died everywhere, except in the homes where blood had been applied over the door. Not one died. And so when they took communion, John called Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and there were 12 of them there, you know that famous painting with Jesus and the 12, and he broke bread and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. And they all knew right away, this was a very solemn assembly. This was something very serious was going on. Because Jesus was about to die and shed his blood for you and I. And so they all took some bread, and Jesus began to tell them that he would die, that his body would be broken for you and I, and that he would take disease, sickness, that he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. See, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus was talking about a new covenant. A new thing was about to transpire. And so whenever we take communion together, our goal, our purpose, is for us to remember that we don't have to earn and work this up to get a miracle. We don't have to exert great pressure and jump and shout and scream and work ourselves into a frenzy like the cults do. We just need to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look to his word. And so today, who can take communion? Well, the Bible says for those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Jesus, then you're in a new agreement. This new agreement is not like the old. In the Old Testament, you had to earn everything. You had to be good enough for God to bless you. But in the new covenant, this gift of righteousness comes because of Jesus. You know, when we partake of communion, a lot of people get touched in their bodies just during communion because they kind of quieten down, and we take communion together and they begin to realize Jesus has already paid for healing. I was chatting with a person one time and they're praying about, oh God, please heal me, please touch me. And so I was just ministering to them. And I said, just a minute, stop. I said, I have some good news for you. I said, what? I said, Jesus has already released the healing. He's already given it to you. He has? I said, yeah. 2,000 years ago, it says that healing was released into his people, and it's now yours. God's not deciding who gets a miracle. He's decided, and guess who it was? The whole human race. And all it takes is for you and I to believe on his name. He kind of looked at me, and you could just see faith beginning to rise up. When the gospel is explained to people properly, you'll just see an aha moment come to them at how easy it is to get a miracle, how easy it is for God to touch them. And so communion is very beautiful because it's us remembering together that the body of Jesus that hung on that cross is a type of God's word. And as you and I read his word and it begins to come into our minds and renew our minds and get into our heart, that miracles begin to flow from us. Blood's pretty powerful. You ever notice how all the horror movies love blood? There's lots of blood everywhere all the time in a horror movie. Because blood's just got this kind of weirdness about it. You know, I got a few friends, they pass out if they look at blood. It's just like they're queasy, they're just reaching for a wall. And the Bible does say that blood, there's life in the blood. The Bible says that Abel's blood, when he was killed by Cain in the book of Genesis, cried out for vengeance. Jesus' blood shed on the cross 2,000 years ago doesn't cry for vengeance. It cries out mercy. It cries out God's grace. And every one of you looking at me today, Jesus died for you specifically. He took every one of your weaknesses, addictions, sins, failures, shortcomings, things that you've done in secret that no one else knows. He took all of that. And he said, I love you. And he died for you and I. So that today when you're believing God for strength, a miracle, something that you need from him, that when the enemy attacks you and goes, you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? God's going to touch you? Are you kidding me? That those words, they'll hit the shield of faith. And you'll believe that, oh no. Because of Jesus, he qualifies me for all of God's promises. You know, it's interesting. As you teach people the gospel, some people are hardened to it because they've been in church their whole life, listening to a whole bunch of messages. Unless you teach something really weird or far out, they get lost. But where people are hungry for the word, I have found I can just teach them the word of God, and faith begins to rise in the congregation. And then all of a sudden, as we begin to release faith through laying on of hands, through speaking to physical needs, however we're doing it, that miracles just start to happen all across the auditorium. That's what I'm believing for tonight, is that you're going to focus. You're going to allow God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says there was a group of people, I think it was in Corinthians, that when they were teaching them, nothing happened. And it says because they didn't mix faith with what they heard. As you're here, if you don't like me or something about me or I bug you, get past me and listen to the Word of God. Listen to the teaching of God's Word, because it is God's Word. And we're going to talk about this for a few minutes after communion. It is God's Word that is alive. It's living. It goes to the deepest part of you, and it'll set you free from heartache and hurt, beliefs and things that you didn't even know controlled you, that caused you to act the way you are. God's Word is so powerful that it'll do that tonight. So listening to him, Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come because you ramped it up and got emotional. No. In fact, the greatest miracles I've seen took place without an emotion. I walked into St. Boniface Hospital one time, was asked in there by a gentleman who had just seen me on TV. Somehow he phoned a friend of his who knew me. Sometimes a friend of a friend can be pretty good. And she'd had surgery. While they were doing surgery inside of her, they nicked her bowel but didn't know it. Sewed her back up, put her in recovery, and couldn't understand why she began to go downhill so fast. By the time he called me, they called her septic, which means this infection had gone through her entire body. He says, she's not going to make the night. I heard that you believe in miracles. Would you come in and pray for her? So I grabbed one of the other men from our congregation and went down there and met with him outside of the intensive care area and began to explain to him Jesus. And he was just wide-eyed. All he wants is someone to help him with his wife. He doesn't want her to die. And as he's listening to this good news of the cross, that actually long life is a promise that is for believers, that healing is a promise to God's people. And so I talked to him for a while. He said, wow, well, can I accept Jesus? So I led him in the prayer. He gave his life to Christ. They had put his wife into a coma. And so she was in a deep coma as they're just doing everything they can for her life. So I walked in there. He got permission from the doctors to get me to go in. I went in, laid hands on her. She's in a deep coma. Just prayed with her. Now, I had with me in the car a CD, you know, the one units you put on your hip, you put a CD in, put the headsets on. And so I brought in the CDs, and I said to him, I said, I want you to put this on her head, even though she's in a coma. I said, and rather than listening to the words and the noises around that intensive care as others are dying and the words that are being spoken, I said, it's the teaching of faith, and it's the teaching of healing. So I want you to just put it on her ears. And I said, and when it comes to an end, ask the nurses there to flip it around. He said, oh, I can't ask them to do that. I said, I think you can. If this is the hospital that nicked the bowel and this is the doctor's fault and she's in there dying because of what they've done, then tell them that's what you want. So he did, and they did. I got a phone call the next day, and he says to me, you're never going to believe this. I said, what? He says, on her oxygen charts, he said that her O2 was so low in her blood and continuing to crash. And he says, plotted out on the time, on this graph, he says at 10:38 or somewhere right around there, he said it bottomed out and began to come up. And her oxygen began to get into her body, and she began to do so much better that this morning they began to wake her up. I said, wow. He says, I'm talking to her, and he says, I'll give you a call a little later. A little later that day, he said, they can't find anything wrong with her now. And he said, they're going to just monitor her for a bit, and they're going to send her home. I'll never forget the first time those two walked into church. And she'd heard the story and came up to me and gave me this huge hug and gave her life to Christ and became a part of the church. And people understand the power of God's word and what Jesus did on the cross is miraculous. Today, as we partake of communion, you are the family of God. You're the people of God. You are called by His name. You have a covenant and agreement with Him. You are heirs of all God's promises. So when we partake of this together, the Bible says that this cracker, we are to remember that Jesus gave His body to sickness and sin so that yours could know health, vitality, and healing. Let's partake of that together right now. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight. Miracles are going to flow in lives because Jesus, you paid for it 2,000 years ago. Jesus took the cup and he said to his disciples, this is my blood. Sounds really weird until you understand that in every, I don't care what background you come from, German, Russian, Danish, English. In the background of every group on this planet is a blood covenant where they'd become blood brothers, whether they put a scar on their hands like the American Indians and they, or however this was done in Africa, they would put a couple drops of blood on a cut into a cup and they become blood, you know, covenant between two families. It's traced all the way back. We don't do it today because we have lawyers and we just sign things in triplicate. But back then, the most powerful agreement was called a blood covenant. And a blood covenant simply meant that if you ever broke it, your own family had to take you out because you would never break a blood covenant. And when we partake of this cup today, Jesus was saying to his disciples, take, drink, this is my blood. And what he means is there's a new covenant, a new deal. The Old Testament was full of miracles, but it was also full of a lot of heartache and hurt because people couldn't earn what they needed. The New Testament is a better covenant with better promises. And that's what we're a part of today because of Jesus. Let's partake together today. Father, I thank you. I praise you for what you're doing in lives. I thank you for your presence that is here in such a beautiful way. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray that as we go into your word today, that something powerful is going to take place in the hearts, the minds of each person here. I pray there be a supernatural ability to listen to the word as it's being taught. And let this word, which is alive and living, take root in their heart and bear a harvest of miraculous things in their lives. I pray this in your name. Amen. You guys, I just sense I want to teach right now. So you're okay if you want to grab a seat. We're going to have you back shortly. Can I get my iPad there, sis? And can I get you to pass the cups to the sides? And the ushers will come by and grab the cups. And you know, one of the things I've noticed, I was just chatting with Jessica in the back office and Zach about the sensing of God's presence and how to be aware of His presence. It's something that I've noticed is actually lost on many people today because they just haven't taken the time to slow down and to switch from their carnal mind or their sense knowledge over to the things of the Spirit. Did you know that when you do, it'll happen on the job as well? I remember as a young man being the supervisor over the units that day and having a horrible accident down Henderson Highway where a young man had rolled his vehicle, went through the window but got caught in the window as the truck rolled. And it was laying on top of him, but the jagged glass of the window was on his abdomen. And we had a number of units there, and my job was to back off, not take a patient, and just, you know, I was working with tow trucks. It was on an incline, so we're securing the truck. It took us two tow trucks and a fair bit of time to secure this vehicle, to untangle this man from it. And so we've got paramedics on each patient, and I'm kind of walking over. I was going over to talk to a tow truck driver about something that I wanted on the cribbing for this accident. And as I walked to him, something just came over me, just, and it wasn't fear. It was just something different. It was like, no, don't let them. And I turned around and I noticed they were just about to roll a guy from his stomach onto his back. And they'd done a good job. They had C-collars and different things and they'd checked him out. And I just said, stop. And I hollered right across the scene. And I was probably about from here to the back wall, maybe not that far. But I said, stop. And these guys just froze. They knew I was in charge. It was my, and said, don't move. And I walked over there and I just snapped a pair of gloves on. And he was laying on his stomach and they were just about to roll him. And as I put my hands underneath, he had been cut right from one side of his stomach, the entire stomach wall, all the way across. And if they would have lifted him and rolled him over, it would have left all of his entrails right there. And it would have been horrid trying to with all the glass around. And I just stopped and put my hands under and I could just feel. And once I got my hands making a stomach wall for him, we rolled him as a unit and he was out of the hospital in less than a week. I'll never forget one of the young men. He said, how did you know from across the highway talking to a tow truck driver? He says, how did you know something was wrong? There was no obvious blood. We had scanned him for blood. You had run your hands down the outside of the body to check for blood, and there wasn't any. I don't know if it just got absorbed or why there was almost bloodless. It was just such a cut. And he said, how did you know? And I explained to him a little bit, because he was a guy that I had been sharing with, how that whatever you're doing, God will show you things, reveal things to you. My son-in-law, Jeremy, you've heard the story of how one night in the middle of the night, and he married my daughter, Tamara, how all of a sudden he's asleep, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night, and that guy's a heavy sleeper, boom, he jumped out of bed knowing, ran to his daughter's room. Here she is laying in the crib with something wrapped around her neck, choking, and couldn't hear her, nothing. And he just knew. I just woke up and I knew. When God's presence is in your life and you learn to get out of your head all the time. By that I mean just your sense knowledge. Learn to stay praying and be open to God. Learn to sense Him. Learn to know Him. How He'll guide you. Not just like guiding me in church or you, but in your job, your family, your home. I don't know how many moms have told me that there was a certain day they just had this burden for one of their children or their husband, and they didn't know. They just began to pray, only to find out later that something was going down, and God protected them. God kept them. And I want to encourage you that this thing called Christianity, the real thing, not the religion, that we've kind of just fluffed it along. And so today what I want to talk to you about is a crucial topic. If you want to learn, there's a learning to this. If you want to learn to walk in the things of the Spirit, not crazy, spooky, weird, not great balls of fire and shaken and shuddering and fall. No, I'm talking about the way Jesus did, the way the apostles did, just walking and knowing and sensing and God guiding them in things. I want to talk about God's Word and faith. You see, tonight, in order for you to receive a miracle, you have to put the Word first. You have to believe that God's Word is true. If you don't, you can't even get saved. How do you believe that Jesus is Lord? The Word says that. You have to believe what the Word says. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man," that's mankind, that means women too, mankind, people kind, I heard, "shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." I want you to notice the word word, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's words that were spoken to Moses and written down, to Elijah, Elisha, to the Apostle Paul, to they were written down. And those written words, which is the word graphe in the Greek, are as potent and powerful as when they were spoken to them. It says in Psalms 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled." Listen to me. God's word will never, ever, 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 ever change. It is settled. So the reason this is important is because faith only works when it is from the Word. Romans 10:17, the faith that you need to believe God for the miracles and finances, relationships, your physical body, your mind, your heart, whatever you're believing God for, this is the way faith comes. It comes by hearing the Word of God. God's Word is alive. It's amazing. It's powerful. And when you hear God's Word, that is when faith comes. It just says it comes. Okay? It doesn't mean that it leaves because you've been given the measure, it says in Romans 12:3. But faith comes. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For God's Word is alive, working, active, powerful, effectual, sharper than a double-edged sword, cuts all the way into us where the soul and the spirit are joined, to the center of our joints and bones. It penetrates until it divides even soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges and discerns the thoughts, the ideas, and the feelings, and the attitudes, and the intentions in our heart." Did you know that because the Word is settled, when you begin to hear what Jesus did on the cross, that He died for you, and that healing is yours, that's a settled fact, unchangeable. It is so unchangeable, God can't change it. Well, come on, Leon, God can do anything. I'm sorry, God's Word is what He holds to. His Word is forever settled. He's not changing the agreement He has with you. Whereas so much of Christianity today says, "Well, you know, we're just hoping that God moves." That's actually Old Testament prayer. You're in the New Covenant now, and all of God's promises, you've either already qualified them for them. And so when you understand that God's Word is settled forever, that God's word is powerful, potent, it's alive. And that it's when you begin to go to the word, this is where faith comes from. And the more you learn your rights and your privileges, and the more you just immerse yourself and take time each day, many of the most successful men and women that I know, I remember sitting down with a guy off out of New Zealand who came to one of our conferences and rededicated his life to Jesus. And we began to talk and got a chance to know him over the next little while. A man who handles hundreds of millions, I don't even know if it's billions or what it is. He would just talk about how that he would find a quiet time each day and he would just get alone with God's word and he would just read God's word and he would just quiet. He'd slow down. Now, there's decisions everywhere that need to be made in his multiple companies. But today, every day, he'd take a time and he would just focus on God's word. He would quieten himself. Many of the Old Testament scriptures say that early in the morning and the quiet of the dawn, God would speak to the prophets of old. Now, we know he always speaks to all of us, but there were certain times that they would find in the quietness when they could still their mind down, that's always looking at something and smelling something and thinking about something and, you know, and just learn to focus. The carnal mind is death, the mind of the spirit is life. You can learn to begin to focus on his word. And as you learn to read his word and focus on his word, a lot of you here today will say, when I read for 5 minutes, I start blanking out. I'd rather have you teach it to me than me read it, okay? I understand, and a part of my gifting is to teach the word, but a part of what you are required to do is to spend time with Jesus, and one of the ways is in his word, and so you must discipline yourself. There's a verse in the Bible that says, study in Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly divide the word of truth. God's word is so incredible, so powerful, so beautiful that it's settled forever in heaven, that it's never changed. It is unchanging. God can't change it. He won't change it. His very words hold the universe together. Those spoken words, as you and I begin to receive them. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, listen to this one. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. This is why so many people read the Bible and they can't get anything out of it. Because you've not learned to move out of that natural mind of just, into the things of the Spirit. Holy Spirit's here to teach you, to show you. It says that it's foolishness to people because it's spiritually discerned. In John chapter 1, reading out of the expanded Bible, listen to this. It says, in the beginning there was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word refers to Christ, God's revelation of himself. The Word was with, in the presence of, in intimate relationship with God the Father. And the Word was fully God. He was with, in the presence of, in intimate relationship with God in the beginning. All things were made, were created, came to be by and through him. And nothing was made, nothing came to be without him. Who? Jesus. Who? The Word, the Logos. In him there was life, for what was made through him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered, defeated, or understood, or comprehended it. Okay, Leon, what are you trying to say with all that? Let me get one thing across to you. It's a great thing to meditate on. God's Word is so incredible that when you meditate and read it, don't go how much you can read, just begin to get the principles of God's Word, that it begins to touch you in the spirit. It begins to touch and renew your mind. It begins to heal your body. There is something about God's Word that it needs to be the very first thing you look to that you believe. God's Word needs to be something you bank your life on. There's nothing else that will. There's nothing out there that is settled. In Proverbs 4:20, it goes on talking about the Word of God. And it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. This is about meditating. It says, keep them in the middle of your heart, not just your head, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, I'll explain that, and perverse lips put far from you. He's not talking about lying here. You know what he's talking about? The word froward means crooked. It means do not say what the problem is. Say what the truth of God's word says about it. Okay? It's you don't have a froward or a crooked mouth. So as you believe in God for something, yes, that's where that, you know, you get, there's the tumor, there's that broken bone, there's that, you know, and we've prayed and believed. Now we declare it has no right to stay in my body. And so your confession is of faith that Jesus the healer has declared that I walk in health and that disease has no right in my body. And so there is, as you begin to immerse yourself into the word, something begins to change on the inside of you. And as you teach God's word, it's the word. You know, in the Bible, every time God's word was opened, everyone stood to their feet. I was going to do it tonight, but I won't make y'all get up. Every time. Close the book, they sit down. Open the book, they stand up. There was a reverence and an awe for the word of God that is missing in so many people today. Just, you know, just give me a little bit of diabetic word. You know, you're throwing candy to an already diabetic Christian crowd. Just make me feel good, make me be a little encouraged, and let me go home. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that says, those of you who are laughing and joking and having fun, it's time to mourn. You kind of go, what'd he say? It's kind of like this issue of from a child to a man. You know, if you got a kid that loves to excited and play and have fun, yee-haw, mommy, daddy, but then they're 12 and 13 and they still don't clean their room or fix their bed or pick up their toys or help with the dishes and yee-hee, life's wonderful, it's amazing. You're going to slow this kid down. No, you're going to help out now. This is what I want you to do here. This is what I want you to do there. And it's just saying that, no, and it's saying there that in life, make sure that you're not frivolously, shallowly just walking through life looking for everything, every little pleasure. And do you seriously understand what it's going to take for you to live the next 60, 70, 80 years in God's power? And you need His Word. And you must study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed and rightly divide the Word of truth. Let's talk about demons for a minute and God's word. Everyone thinks that devils are, you know, that they're so powerful and so. I am going to do a series on this, and it's something I've never actually taught the things that I want to talk about because I didn't want to freak people out. But I thought, nah, I need to start talking and showing you some of the things we deal with behind the scenes and recognize that there is a force. His name is Satan, his fallen angels. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5, I'll read you two verses, but listen to this. We fight with weapons that are different than those the world uses. Not merely human weapons, not of the flesh. That means of our natural mind. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places. What do you mean? Where are these strong places? Now, some Christians think, well, those strong places are down in the bars and the back alleys of Winnipeg. No, it's not what it's talking about. It says, our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places, his strongholds, his fortresses. We destroy, and here's what these fortresses are, people's arguments, human reasoning, sophistries, and every proud thing, pretension, exalted opinions, high things that raises itself against what? The knowledge of God. Miracles will flow easily in your life. Health, prosperity, blessing, peace, a sense of God that some of you are missing, saying, I just need that. It does not come because you beg, plead, and cry enough. It doesn't come because you can get more emotional enough. It comes when God's word begins to be absorbed inside of you. And as you hear truth, it begins to push aside all the lies that have come to you, that God's not going to touch you, that you're not worthy of it, that, you know, this is not going to happen. And all these imaginations, these reasonings, these exalted opinions. Have you ever talked to somebody who knows they know that the Bible's not real? Just an exalted opinion. Bible says they're fools because God knows way more than they do. This knowledge of God, as you begin to listen to the knowledge of God, it's going to push things out that are on the inside of you, aren't even aware of. Some of you might have been raised in a home where you never knew what love was, what being welcomed was, or feeling like you belong. And this lack of belonging has hurt your relationship with God or your spouse or your kids. And you've tried everything you know how. And all it is a high exalted opinion. All it is a belief that's a heart belief deep on the inside of you because of the way you were raised or things that happened to you or things that you did that you're ashamed of. And that shame, that little niggle way down on the inside just seems to stop you from believing that God will touch you. God's word begins to go in and it's like a weapon. And that sword of the Spirit begins to take out all these lies. And the way it happens is actually pretty boring, but incredibly powerful. New beliefs begin to rise up like seeds in the soil of your heart, and all the weeds get choked out, and these new beliefs begin to rise up, and things begin to happen. I'll share with you a story. If that couple is here, no one knows who I'm talking about, but I often share stories of people, but I never use names. A couple walked into this church, the back hallway there, a while ago, and I met them as I was walking by, and I said, "Hey, hi there, how long have you been coming?" First time. He was not a happy camper. And I looked at her, she goes, "Yep." And I said, "Oh, well, welcome to Springs." "Uh-huh." And so I'm just getting a really wrong vibe here. So I said, "What brings you to Springs?" "Oh, we're divorcing. And for the kids' sake, we thought we'd come." "Oh, welcome to Springs." "Yep." So I turned around and I said, "I commend you guys for making this decision. The pain you're both going through." I said, "How bad is it?" "I hate her." She goes, "Yep, ditto." I said, "Promise me this, 3 months. Come for 3 months before you make a decision." And they both look at each other. I says, "Can I get your," and I pointed at her, "All right, well, would you? If I'm asking you, would you for your kids? Just give God, give them 3 months to hear the word of God." "All right, can I get you?" "All right, thank you, I'm holding you to it." I didn't see him again. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, when I'm walking the halls one way, they're walking the other way. But months later, well past 3 months, I see this couple. And my mind just kind of, hey, that's the couple that said they're going to try church. And they're holding hands. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world? So I walk over and I just said, "What happened?" And they gave me this blank look. "Excuse me? What happened?" We're not sure what you mean." Okay. Said, "Months ago, I met you in the hallway here and you told me you hated each other. You're divorcing each other. This is over. There's no way you're going to keep going." Oh, yeah. And then they kind of, you know, they said, you're right, Pastor." I said, well, what happened?" "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, you love her, Abby. You're holding her hand. You guys look like young lovers. I mean, what's going on? What was it that was the epiphany? What was the, you know, what took place that, I don't know. They're looking at each other. They're looking back and forth. And I got nowhere with them. Other than they'd given their lives to Jesus. They'd been attending for months, faithfully attending the church. And I said, "Well, praise the Lord. I mean, I'm waiting for, you know, something happened." And then as I walked off and went back to the office, it just hit me. God's word. The Bible says the washing of water by the word just keeps flowing on them. And isn't that awesome? And it changes hearts and it changes lives. I was telling one of the services this morning that last year I went to see a specialist because I started having this problem with my shoulder. And I love doctors. I love getting checkups. I like, you know, naturopath herbs. I like it all. Chiropractors. I like anybody that's got a specific art. I'll get checked up. I'll have them work on me. I want this body. It's going to last me a long time. And so I said, I have so much pain the second I put my arm like this. I said, I'm seeing like flashes of light. And I said, I can hardly use that arm. And so she informed me that, and actually looked at me and examined, x-rayed it, that, you know what, you've got whatever the thing was called. Some kind, it was where my joints were all breaking down. What did you do for sports? And I said, "Well, I quarterbacked for a while, and then I threw javelin really hard, and I mean, I'd throw my shoulder out quite often, year after year." And she goes, "Okay, that explains it." She was a sports injury specialist. She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I can get rid of some of the pain, and I can get you a little bit more motion back, but you have to understand, you're in your 50s now." And but we'll do what we can. So I went back every week, took her advice, and she would do a certain kind of massage on that shoulder, and then she would do this, I don't even know what it was, but it was very effective, where she would push on a point where the ligaments and muscles attached, and she'd bend the arm and keep it going, and it was painful, but I did it. And then I got called away, and I was at a conference somewhere, and I just never went back. I never even remembered it. So the other day I was preparing a message, and I thought, I forgot about this. I had a problem in my shoulder, and I don't have a problem anymore. There's no pain. I can hang and pull myself up. I can lift. I'm thinking, when did that go? When did that happen? And I can't think of a thing. I mean, it didn't happen when she was working on me, but it helped. And you know what it is? God's word just keeps being planted in your heart. And as God's word is meditated on, it begins to bring healing to your body. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it quickens your mortal body. Healing doesn't come from heaven if you're a Christian. Healing comes from within you, where the spirit of God is. And so as you look at the Bible, there's interesting things. Like, I've only got a few. I'm going to explain something to those of you who are real students of the word. And for the rest of you, if you don't understand this, just put it on the shelf and learn it later. We often look at the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings, the gift of faith, the gift of the working of miracles. We look at the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy. These nine gifts, there's three of them that say something, three that do something, three that reveal something. And they are the arsenal for Christians to help others. But Christians often think that the gifts are for Christians. But they're not. The gifts are to flow through you to those who don't know Christ. How do we know? Because in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 7, it says it's the Holy Spirit that manifests these gifts. He decides as they flow. Well, that's not for you and I, because the way you and I walk in the power of God is through grace and faith. Ephesians chapter 2, twice it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So you believe in God's grace. So as a believer, you don't have to wait for the gifts to be in operation through a man or a woman of God, or praying and waiting for the anointing to strike, because the ministry gifts are for you and I to go to the world. We are to be praying for our friends, praying for people around us, and those that they go into operation. But for you, there's an easier, more powerful way for you to walk in health, protection, prosperity, and blessing. And it's called God's grace. It's His unearned favor that just comes all over your life. And His health and His healing, it flows just easily and quickly and all the time. Every time you speak a word, shoulder, you're healed in Jesus' name. I don't remember how many times I said it. I'm just used to doing that. When I get up in the morning, I speak over my kids, my wife, the church. I speak over the Miracle Channel. I speak over the different languages we're going to. I just declare, this is the way my life is going in Jesus' name. And I'm declaring faith words. And so I don't know when things happen, but I know this, that God's grace, which is His power, His ability, which is on all of our lives, is always there, easily healing, easily bringing recovery, easily solving financial problems, easily solving marriage problems, because it's so easy for us. But now the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we'll talk about that another time, these are the arsenal of a witnessing prayer warrior. I was outside of a bar one time, and a guy walked out, and my dad and I, and I think Dan and some of us were doing some street ministry. My dad loved to do that. He'd go on the worst streets of a city, and he'd just stand on the street corner. He could shout. And he'd just start, "Jesus loves you!" And he'd say, "And He died for you!" And they said he could hear his voice echoing in the bars. And so I think I was 17, or I was 18 years old, and then we'd sing. People would come park their cars all down the streets, listen to some great music, and then he'd get up and preach, and people would come out and talk to us. And so anyway, this one time, a lot of different miracles, but one time a guy walked out, and Dad says, "Leon, go get him." So I walked over to this guy, and I said, "Hey, dude, I'm Leon, man." He says, "Hey." And I said, "What's wrong?" Because he was walking like this. He was literally had one arm under his ribs, and he was literally walking so poorly. And I said, "What happened?" "Oh, blankety blank, got in a fight and got my ribs all stove in, and they're just so painful." And I said, "Oh," I said, can I talk to you a little bit about Jesus?" "No, beep, beep way." Oh. I said, all right. I said, could I pray for your ribs? Sure. So I laid my hands on where his ribs were, and here on the streets in front of the bar with cars and people everywhere, I just spoke healing. I said, in the name of Jesus, ribs, you be healed. Now, because he's an unsaved person, okay, doesn't know Christ as his Savior, all right, I'm not going to teach him faith. Because the teaching of faith, so you can believe in God's grace for the miracles that you need, is for believers. So what I need now is the gifts of healings or the working of miracles or one of the gifts of the Spirit that are given to us to minister. So he looks at me and he made some kind of, you know, thanks, man. He just walks off. And as he walks off, someone turned to me and said, look at that guy. He's walking perfectly fine. And he was. He was kibitzing around, pain all gone, totally healed. You go, how can that happen when he's got no faith? Faith in the amazing grace of God is an easy way for Christians. It's easier than anything else because Christians have access to all the blessings of God by just believing it. But people in the world need you to find them, like that lady on the deathbed given 12 hours to live who didn't know Jesus, but I prayed with her husband and he gave his life to the Lord, and I put those earphones on just to blank out a lot of the negativity. We prayed, and from that very point I prayed for her, her whole body began to heal and come around. So why this is really important is because today, as we pray with people for miracles, we don't need to wait to see if God's going to move. We don't need to wait to see, will it be a gifts of healings? Will it be a word of knowledge? Will it be? And God will often do that. Sometimes he'll show me what to pray for and what's wrong with people and what I should do next. Often in these services, there's a sensing and a knowing within me as to when and what to do. But the primary way that everybody here will receive a miracle is that I stir up your faith with God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, there's four quick steps, I'll give it to you in 2 minutes, that believers need to know to release your faith and just see the power of God move in your life. Number one, find what God's word says about that. Okay, you can't be praying for things that God didn't give you. I never forget one guy praying for some other man's wife because he was sure that that man married her, but that was the one God had for him. And it was, you know, and I'm going, are you kidding me? You can't find a verse on that in the Bible anywhere. So you can't pray and believe that. You got to find what God's word says. And once God's word is established for what you want, that's crucial. Now faith can arise in you because faith comes from the word. Secondly, believe what you read. Believe what the word says and speak it with your mouth. You see, miracles don't come because you think it. Miracles come when you speak it. Romans chapter 10 says the word of God faith must be in your heart and it must be coming out your mouth. And so what I've learned to do is if I desire something in my business, relationships, in my physical body, my child, my son-in-law's, daughter-in-law, grandkids, that I just speak the word of God. And I do this every day. I don't wait till there's a problem. Quick, Leon, pray, we got a problem. I am praying or I am speaking words of faith every day over this church. I'm speaking words of faith every day over my home, my family, myself, opportunities. Because words, the Bible says that words must be in your heart and in your mouth. Not in your heart and in your head, in your heart and in your mouth. When you begin to speak the word of God, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so miracles and all that you need is easier for the Christians because you've already accepted Jesus, which means that all of his grace, his undeserved favor, his power is here and it's instantaneous. It's yours right now. There's no waiting. Well, Leon, what if God makes me wait? He can't. Why not? Because he said today's the day of salvation. And the word salvation, sozo, or soterios in the Greek, means literally saved from sickness, disease, all the curse of the law. And when today? That means present tense. There is never a time where anything Jesus died for, he will delay. Very common doctrine amongst Christians and pastors and preachers. Well, God will delay it because, you know, I went to the hospital for 2 weeks and I won 7 people to the Lord. You know, yeah, so God wanted you writhing in pain, sick, disease, because he can't show you. Is God that ineffective of a communicator? Well, no, Leon, but I'm that ineffective of a hearer. No, every problem you ever have, God's going to cause all things to work together for good. But what his best for your life is, that you walk out, Ephesians 2:10 says, the paths he's prepared ahead of time for you, and they're all good. God's not delaying your healing. He's not bankrupting your business to try to teach you something. Everything that goes on that is a storm doesn't come from God. All right, so this is crucial to know. So you find what God's word says about the things you desire. If you know, the word's very clear. It's healing, done. It's to prosper, done. It's for relationships to be restored, done. When you read God's word, and then believe it and speak it. The third thing you do is refuse to allow circumstances to cause you to doubt. When I was a young man, Sal and I had three children at the time, before we pastored here. I began to have problems with my stomach. So bad, the pain was so bad. The only way I could even tolerate the pain was to fill up a bathtub full of hot water and just lay in it. And as I laid in that, it's like the pain would subside. And I wasn't a dumb guy. I was a paramedic. I understood everything about, you know, signs and symptoms. And I knew this was, it wasn't cool. But I began to try to believe God and speak God's word. And as I was, I mean, there's times I'd fall asleep in the tub. And, you know, we had children, and Sally, I think, was pregnant. So I'd say, just go to bed. I'm going to be okay. I remember waking up in the morning with just my nose above the waterline. Slept there all. But you know what happens to tub water when it's been in there like 8 hours? And all the heat goes out of it. And the cold, and I remember getting out of there. One time I was so sick I couldn't go to work. My core temp was so low that I was just literally sick, just trembling, and we had to warm me up. And I remember that it didn't happen right away. And the circumstances, they seemed to say. And then, so I went and saw a doctor, and he says, well, we need to do all of this. I think what's going on here, and the term he used then was, this is precancerous or cancerous, and I want to. And he began, I said, okay, fine. I said, how much time can you give me before we got to dive into that? Well, I'd like to move on it pretty quick. Can you give me a week or two? And so I agreed with the doctor. I have no problem with the doctor. He said, yes. He says, but we got to deal with this thing. And I remember going home and thinking, okay, so, and then just speak the word. You know, and I had this little song I would sing. I'm a little bit crazy. You already know that, most of you. And so I would sing this song. It goes like this. I'm just going to do it. I guess I'm on TV, but anyway. I am healed. I am whole from the top of my head through my stomach to the tips of my toes. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were, and if we were, then I am. I am healed. I am whole from the top of my head through my stomach to the tips of my toes. And it just was a good reminder for me that speak it, declare it, speak it, declare it. And every morning I'd get up, and there was foods I couldn't eat, and there'd be problems with work, and this stomach is acting up, and these symptoms were driving me nuts. They wanted me to focus on them and say, nothing's happening, nothing's changing, I don't know if I, and I would just begin to rejoice and thank him, Father, I have spoken to this stomach, and I'm thanking you for healing, and that thing was totally healed, but I couldn't focus on the problem of it. Now, I was very careful. I had spoken with doctors, I had time frames, but it's amazing how that if you refuse to allow circumstances or your body or the symptoms around you to make you freak out and get off of God's word. Peter walked on the winds and the storm, of the storm, as long as he looked at Jesus. When he looked at the waves, he started to sink. Got his eyes back on Jesus, he started to walk. There's a supernatural power called faith that is here to touch you and to heal you. And it's not as the Spirit wills, like the gifts of the Spirit says. That's for you to minister to the lost or to baby Christians. I find that when I minister in congregations that have never heard about miracles and they're listening, that the gifts of the Spirit just show up and pfft. And people say, why doesn't that happen for us? No, you got it better. You got his grace, his unmerited favor that's in your life, that's continually ministering to you. Just start speaking the word. And the fourth thing is praise him for the answer. Those four simple steps, I just do that all the time. I'm always declaring the kind of life I want, of health, protection, blessing, prosperity, joy, laughter, understanding, strong relationships, generations going on and pleasing God. And this is how we release faith. Mark 11 teaches us, you speak to the mountain, you declare, and then it says, you do not doubt in your heart. Your head's going to go all over the place. Heart is that deeper spirit side, because faith is a spiritual faith. Today, We're going to worship God for a few minutes and just sing. We ask the team to come back. And you do not need to wonder if God's going to show up. You do not need to wonder if the gifts of the Spirit will go in operation. They may, but that has nothing to do with you because you'll be healed with faith and grace anyway. By grace are ye saved through faith. Believing that you qualify, believing that it's here, believing that it's always yours, believing that Jesus paid for it 2,000 years ago. And as you begin to believe, but believers live so much lower than the way God's designed you to live for Him. We need to believe. This morning I shared three separate messages. In the first service, second service, third service, the first one, I showed how that faith has to be on Jesus. It's got to be focused on Jesus. If it's not focused on Jesus, faith won't work. In the second service, we begin to talk about how that faith's got to be the Word of God, and then what Jesus, and we just unpacked that. The third service, I shared the three things that faith, you have to understand about faith. What is it? How do you get it? And then how do you release it and keep it flowing? And those three messages are so crucial that I want to encourage you to, I don't know if they've got, I think they got them at the back available, but get them and just feed on them and feed on. Tonight, I want you to know the value of God's Word. It's alive. It's living. In fact, in listening to me for these 30 minutes, there is enough faith arisen in you in listening to the Word that any miracle that you need will just happen. Well, Leon, can you make it? No, I can't force it. Jesus never once said to the people that touched him or he touched, go thy way, my faith has made you whole. He always said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. In his hometown, where they all kind of looked down on him, he couldn't do any miracles, it says. And he marveled at their unbelief. The miraculous flows as we believe his word. Tonight, I want to challenge you. I don't know what beliefs you've grown up with or why you, but God's Word is the most precious thing to me. You know, every day of my life, I find time frames by myself. Usually it's the morning. Often it's late at night. Many times I'll climb out of bed when everyone's asleep and just tiptoe. And I'll just open my iPad and I'll just begin to read the Word. As I meditate in the quiet of the night or the morning, His Word just begins to fill me. It's alive. It begins to lead me. And problems I'm thinking through, Holy Spirit will say, do this. And I'll, as I'm reading over here, I can just feel it like I'm gassing up my spirit man. You know, food feeds your body. You know, your soul needs to be renewed in God's Word too. And God's Word renews your mind. But I sense it strengthening me. Psalms 27 or 127, I forget which, in verse 1, it says that He is my strength. And I pull from that strength, whether it's relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, when I need to stand and make it through and know that God's going to see me through. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? He said, the storms will blow, but if you build your life on the Word of God, the foundation, He said, the storms will blow and you can't be shaken. Now, the guy who doesn't build on God's Word, the rock, is utterly destroyed. And the storm didn't strengthen him. Everyone thinks that God allows storms to strengthen you. There's not a verse in the Bible that says it. Not a verse that says that. It says that when storms come, you'll learn patience. But the strength of a house, so can you imagine if you build your house on a great foundation, I build mine on the sand, and the storm comes, blows mine away, and then it comes over, blows on mine, and it begins to put the screws in deeper, and it kind of re-anchors it on the foundation, and it helps the shutters get, no, the storm comes and destroys it, blows the shingles off, blows the shutters off, I mean, it blows the walls, and if you've been anywhere where there's big tornadoes, you can lose the whole house. Storms don't come to strengthen you. Storms come to destroy you. But what Jesus said is, if you build on my word, you believe and trust in me. It doesn't say that it might work. It says you'll never be shaken. You know, the other day we had a bit of a storm. We saw these huge dark clouds and hail was coming down and stuff was happening. And, you know, we just fired up a movie for the kids, made some popcorn, put our feet up, laughed, told stories, played board games and watched TV. And I was preparing a little bit of this message and I'm sitting there looking out my window thinking, this is actually fun. Look at those clouds. And I love the rain. You're just sitting on a porch when the rain comes down. You can hear it hitting the grass and the leaves. And you're just sitting under the porch protected in your nice home. And the storm's blowing. I can see the sounds of the leaves moving back and forth. This is not a fear. Let the storm blow. My house will handle it. We've got technology in Canada. In Canada, you better, with all the cold and everything, to build strong houses. And you're just at peace. That's what we have to be like when storms blow. What storm's blowing at you? What's freaking you out? Is it sickness? Did the doctor say you've only got so many months, years? Did he say that your family's got a history of heart disease and so you'll probably have it too? Did you know even science says that's not true? Your DNA changes. We go to a lot of stuff. But what does Jesus say? I've made a decision to anchor my soul in the Word of God. I've made a decision to trust this. I can't trust evolution. I can't trust the government. I can't trust hospitals. I've got friends in politics. I got friends who are doctors in this room right now. We've got great, brilliant minds. We got scientists coming to our church, doctors. We've got chiropractors, dentists. We got brilliant men and women, but they all have found that man has a limited amount of skill, but spirituality is where the presence and the power of God is. And tonight, could you just put all the rest aside? And let's look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Would you stand with me? They're going to lead us in a song. We're going to just worship before I pray. And then you are going to believe God for the miracle you need. And I'm going to agree with you. Jesus is here. He's within you. We've been talking about Him for, we're singing or talking about Him now for an hour and a half. Is He going to show up? Faith cometh by hearing. You've been hearing? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.